Hey guys, before we get started, I just wanted to remind you that the CEO Mindset Podcast is a self-funded, self-published podcast that really does depend on your support. So before you start listening to the podcast today, make a plan to leave a comment and a review of this podcast on any platform you are listening to it on, because it is just so helpful. I really appreciate you for doing so, and I thank you in advance. We are halfway through the second quarter, which means it's time to start looking at the goals that we've set at the beginning of the year and the process that may or may not have been made with them. In this episode, I'm going to share my 4-step process for goal setting or evaluating, and I'm also going to share with you how it can lead to a more purposeful life. Welcome to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I'm Andrea Patrick, the BU boss, and I share effective and efficient ways to constantly evolve and be open to failing forward. Putting the BU in your life, career, and or business leads to more self-awareness and authentic practices for achieving personal and professional success. So let's get into it, shall we? Welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I'm Andrea Patrick, your host, and I'm so happy that you are joining me today. Subscribe if a CEO mindset is something you want to obtain and you want to find the intersection where your work and life coexist. The sky is the limit when you're clear about your value, consistent in the way you share said value, and you're upfront and honest about who you are while sharing it. There are so many examples to follow and learn from. Let's get into today's, shall we? All right, let me just share with you the steps that are in this process. You will have heard some of them before, but I do believe that when I elaborate on them, it is definitely going to be helpful to you in your, desire to lead a more purposeful life, a more intentional life. So the first step is to create your personal framework. The second step is to understand your habit forming or breaking patterns. The third step is to be specific with your SMART goals. And then the fourth is to exert the effort required to obtain and sustain. I have a little extra that's going to happen inside of here. So I thought it was only fair to give you everything up front. So if you wanted to jot those down, and then you can sort of fill in the blank as I go along. So let's start back at the beginning, create a personal framework. Now this is going to help you create standard operating practices. I believe this is so important in your ability to evaluate your goals, but also to set them in the first place. So that's why this is the very first thing in this 4-step process. So here, what your personal framework is going to do is help you maintain adequate, intentional, and consistent efforts to achieve your goal. How much more intentional and purposeful can you get there? When you have this framework set up, then you are going to know exactly what you need to do and be your best. And for those of you who are just now joining us, welcome. Your personal framework are your strengths, limitations, desires, and non-negotiables. Now, I go inside of this deeply in the very first part of this Project CEO program that will be launching soon. Please make sure that you get on the wait list for that so I can share all the new things that are coming down the pipeline. I have established a new way to obtain the program, and I think you're going to love it. But anyway, yes, your personal framework is how you're going to create those standard operating practices that are going to be needed as you try to achieve your goals. So if it's A, it works if you're trying to set the goals, but this is definitely going to be imperative in your ability to sustain that activity that needs to happen in order for you to actually meet those goals. The second step is to understand your habit forming or breaking patterns. Your habits are made up of cues, routines, and rewards. They're the basic elements of a habit. So manipulating these elements are going to help you change or stop the habits preventing you from reaching your goals, but it will also enhance your ability to do the things that are going to be required of you to actually reach your goals. One of the things that I always use as an example here is a weight loss journey and the idea that you have to give up something in order to lose the weight. I've never really approached it that way, or if I did, it was very early on in my weight loss journey. But what I've started to do now is say, what do I need to add into my diet in order for me to lose the weight? So one example is drinking more water. So what I've done is I give myself the reward is the ability to drink the Diet Coke, but I can't have it unless I drink water. So the cue is I'm thirsty. The routine is to make sure that I've had a certain amount of water before I can have the drink that I want. So if I'm thirsty, I haven't had the water that I know I'm supposed to have, then the reward cannot be the Diet Coke. I hope that makes sense. Cues, routines, reward are the basic elements of a habit. So when you manipulate these elements, like I said before, it's going to help you to make better choices so that you can actually achieve the goal. It's not necessarily going to undermine the fun that you want to have because of the way you're thinking about it. It's going to help you change or stop the bad habits. All right, next, when it comes to understanding your habits or your habit forming or breaking patterns, this is important because as a culture and as creatures of habit, I'll say it that way, we seem to think that it's more realistic to believe that our habits are efficient. But I want to ask you, is that true? In some cases, yes. But if you have habits that have gotten you in trouble, then that's not going to be more efficient for you because now you've got to change the habit, which is going to be harder for you to do. So all habits are not created equal. All of them are not going to make your life easier. They are just easier to do. So it might be time for you to change your habit. The second step in this process is to be specific with your SMART goals. Now, we all know what SMART goals are, but I really want to break these down here for you as it relates to living intentionally and authentically. Because we can think about being specific, having measurable tasks, making sure that these goals are achievable. Are they relatable to the overall desire that we have? And is it timed? Do we have it on a time? Okay, so that's what we've learned our entire lives. But if we want to take this very familiar acronym and turn it into something that is authentic and intentional, I think we have to ask ourselves some questions here. How does specificity relate to your ability to achieve your goal, right? Well, vagueness leads to excuses, and there can be no accountability there. So if you just say, I want to read more, I mean, reading the back of a cereal box is reading more. So that's really allowing you to make excuses in what it is you have set your goal for. That vagueness does not allow for accountability. If you say that you want to read, 10 books a month or 10 books a year or 10 books a quarter or whatever it is, if you've not done that, maybe in you reading a certain genre of book that you know a friend likes, if you've not passed 10 books on to somebody by the end of the period that you set for yourself, then you did not meet that goal. But there's accountability because those people are expecting those books at the end of the month or at the end of the quarter, right? So without the specificity, all you really have is an idea with no intention. And that's not what you want, right? If you're trying to achieve your goal, if you're trying to sustain the actions that are going to help you create the goal, if you're trying to lead to a more purposeful life, you need to think about these SMART goals and the specificity here a little bit differently. Next is the M. Why do you need to measure it? Why is that important to your goal setting process? Well, you need to not only know where you want to go, but you need to know where you're starting in order to make a plan to get you to your overall goal. That's why it's important for you to have measurement. If your goal back to 10 books a quarter, if you know that it is at the end of the quarter and you've not finished the first book, you are not doing a good job with your goal plan. So something needs to change in your activity, your habits that are going to help you get closer to meeting that goal. Is the goal achievable? Well, how do you determine if a goal is achievable? Well, that takes me back to your personal framework. Your personal framework can only be constructed with introspection and awareness. So because of that, you'll know what you need to do and be your best. That plays here. Can you do it? I was listening to a podcast with John Maxwell today, and he said, if you are a level 3 or 4 or something, you might be able to improve and get up to a level 5, but you'll still not have a strength in that area. It won't be a strong point for you. Maybe it's not something that you should be trying to achieve. He tells us to operate 80% of the time within our strengths. So if you are not operating in that strength, maybe the goal isn't achievable. Maybe you are not supposed to have this on your goal chart for the year. So this is how we determine if the goal is achievable. Are you operating within your strengths? Have you determined what your strengths are? That leads us back to your personal framework. For the R, when you put the BU in your business, it makes it easier for you to move in a relatable way to your overall desires, okay? Now, I didn't really talk about this in this episode. I'm not planning on it, but your epiphany journey really does help you determine where you need to meet people or situations. Your experience with a given solution is actually what's going to help you identify and relate to that same solution in others. So when you tap into your epiphany journey, you will make it will make your actions relatable to the actual goal that you set for yourself, which is important, right? Because a goal without a plan is just a wish. But if you have a plan with no action, it's just a dream. I added that little part. I hope you like it. So yes, putting the BU in your business makes you move more relatably to your overall desired goal. All right, it makes your every move more relatable to your overall desired goal. Now let's hit this T. Because when it comes to things being timed, the significance of having a limit on the time you spend on your goals is important. It is that working within your personal framework makes you hyper aware of what works and what doesn't, because you've identified your strengths and your limitations. You are more efficient and timely because you are operating within those strengths more. Now, the clarity also that you found from working this way makes it so much easier for you to define your goals and be intentional in achieving them. So again, at the beginning of the year, you may have set goals for yourself, but if you didn't do the work to really establish the personal framework, then you may not have that hyper awareness of what is going to work and what isn't going to work. So therefore, you haven't been efficient and you haven't been operating within your strengths. So find that clarity to understand what it is you need to do and be your best. And that's going to help you be intentional and purposeful moving forward. That is so, it just eases so much of your mind when you know that you are operating within this framework. And you just know that with beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are doing and being your best in the majority of the situations you find yourself in. And when you find that you are not feeling like you are confident in what you're doing and you're not doing your best and you're not navigating in this space well, that is an indicator that you have kind of swung yourself out of balance, and it's time to find that balance again. And that personal framework is definitely how you do that. Now, the last step in this process is to exert the effort required to obtain and sustain. So you know what you'll need to be successful, and you'll know what it's going to take in order for you to meet your goals. In a recent John Maxwell podcast, well, it was recent to me because I just listened to it. He quoted a lesson that he'd learned about growth from his friends, Vernon and Charlene Armitage. He said that they taught him, Charlene specifically, she said, life's goals are reached by setting annual goals. Annual goals are reached by setting daily goals. And daily goals are reached by doing things that may be uncomfortable at first, but eventually will become habits. And habits are powerful things. Habits turn actions into attitudes and attitudes into lifestyle. At the end of the day, when you have a lens, your personal framework, to operate through, you are maximizing your opportunities and minimizing the threats that can derail your efforts. Understanding your triggers and how your habits affect your productivity make you more capable of setting the appropriate boundaries, managing expectations, and surrounding yourself with a solid support team. Now, I call this team your boss squad. And just, you know, for kicks and giggles, I really thought it would be fun to share with you who I thought should be on your boss squad, who I think the squad should consist of, and that you might be surprised by who I think these people are. So I think number one, you should have a realist on your boss squad. This person is going to keep it real with you, whether you like it or not. They are validating, but they're also honest. So they're not going to let things slide. They're not just rubber stampers. They're supportive, but non-judgmental. And you may not like the way this teammate gets his or her point across, but you definitely respect it just the same. The next person on your team I believe is important is the optimist. And this person understands what you're trying to accomplish, but knows you have a way to go to get there. They are motivating and affirming. They may not know exactly what you're doing, but encourage you to follow your dream. And they also help you see the glass half full. This is an important person that I believe should be on your team. The next person that I think should be on your team is the motivator. And this person has a style all their own. They inspire you to do better. They inspire you to do more. They hold you accountable because they've been where you are. So you can't slip mediocre by them. And you value their acknowledgement because they've been there, done that, and they can help you along the way. Now, the next person, you might be surprised by this one. This person is the hater. This is the person, the naysayer. This is the one that is skeptical all the time, you know, gives you a little bit of crap every here and every now and again. Now, I think this person is important because they light a fire under you. If you're like me, that type of negativity makes me say, you know what? I'm going to show you. Now, if you're not that type of person, you might want to skip this person on your team. Maybe you shouldn't put this person on your team if this is going to be a problem for you. But for those of you who are motivated by that negativity and you want to just show them, you want to stick it to them, this might be a good person to have on your team, the hater. The goal here is to prove them wrong, right? Hey, I'm going to be motivated because I'm going to show you that you are wrong. They actually keep you on your toes if you have that personality type where that is possible for you and this is sort of a motivator. I don't want you to use this team member if you're not this way. But these people will keep you on your toes and they draw attention to what you're doing because a lot of times these naysayers are always talking and flapping their gums to people and they've always got something to say. But guess what? That could be exposure you need because the one person that they say it to might just want to test you out or they might just want to have a conversation with you or it might just lead them to you altogether where you may not have been on their radar at all simply because somebody was saying something about you and they want to kind of see what you're all about. You never know. So I like to put the hater here on the team, not necessarily someone that you talk to every day, but they can definitely, depending on circumstances, be a motivator for you to, you know, get the job done, do the thing. And the last person that I also think might be a surprise for you that I think should be on your boss squad, they're already there whether you like it or not, is you. You have to show up for yourself. All of the other people on your team are there because you've handpicked them to be there and they all have their role to play on your team. But really, you're the captain of the ship. You're the leader of the group. You are the one who is doing the influencing. You're the one who the buck stops with. So you have to show up for yourself. That is another reason why creating your personal framework is vital to the process of setting goals and managing goals and maintaining the evaluation or evaluating the goals so that you can lead a more purposeful life. Now, I hope that this podcast has been helpful to you today. If it has, please, wherever you're listening to it, leave a comment or a review. I am a self-funded and self-published podcast, and so all of your comments and reviews are so helpful to me, and I would be so appreciative if you would take the time to leave a comment and a review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast. The CEO Mindset Podcast can be found on all major podcast platforms, and we look forward to seeing those reviews and comments. Also, if you have not already, a couple of things, hop on the wait list for Project CEO. It's absolutely free to do, but you will get the information about some of the new things we are doing with this program. We've been listening to those who've taken it in the past, and we have made some adjustments that we think everyone will love and make it more accessible to people. Also, just as a fun thing to do, I have a quiz called The Stages of Entrepreneurship, and what it does is it helps you identify what stage of entrepreneurship you may be in. In addition to that, it shares with you who you should be working with in that stage. Oftentimes, as entrepreneurs, we are doing our best to make our money back, or just to make a dollar in general. And so we sort of cast a wide net, and that does not always prove successful. But this quiz helps to align you a little bit more with the types of businesses, people, clients you should be exerting your energy on. And I think it is such a fun way to do it. It's just a couple of questions, and it will spit out your results as well as who we think you should be talking to, what stage of bossing you are actually in. All right, I think I have said everything I need to say in this week's podcast. Again, thank you for listening. Please make sure that you are subscribed so you don't miss these podcasts when they come out. And if you have any suggestions or thoughts on what you want to hear moving forward, please leave that in the comment as well. And you can follow me on all of my major social media platforms. You'll hear about that here in a second. And I also have a blog, so make sure that you are following there as well. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back next week. Bye, guys. That does it for today's episode of the CEO Mindset Podcast. Remember, this is the place to be to find the intersection between your personal life and your business life so that they coexist. It's also where you learn how to consistently evolve and be open to the failures that happen, be open to the opportunities, be open to the opportunity for change. Make sure you are subscribed. Leave your comments below about today's episode. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I want to hear all about them. And I want to hear how you are using what you hear to grow your business, live the life you love, and have that quality of life that we are all looking to achieve. All right, guys, don't forget to follow me over on Instagram, AF Patrick. Definitely subscribe to my YouTube channel, Andrea Patrick Official. All the links that you need to continue following and being a part of the Be You Boss Squad community is listed in the show notes, along with any other links that I think might be amazing for this particular podcast. Remember, we are on all the podcast platforms, so if you have not already, find us and subscribe. See you again next week.